We bring him in. He is a super friend of the show. You know him and love him. He is Chris Rose, and he is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hello, boys.
Chris.
How are you?
Good. I'm still laughing from the line you had on your show Sunday night about, was it the ball or the player that was hiding underneath the graphic? I was watching your show, and I literally fell off the couch laughing because it was such a good line. Bravo, my friend. Bravo.
Thank you. I'm allowed one a month. I'll see you in October.
All right. We'll catch you next month. Let's start with the Browns, man. That offensive line is a mess, and, you know, you're going to Vegas this week, so maybe they can put some things together against a team that's struggling as well. Your thoughts on the Browns?
Tough to watch. Tough watch. Where do we start? The offensive line's a mess. We don't know who's going to be out there, particularly at the tackle position. We know Zach Zinter is going to be there for the next month. It's rough. I mean, it's an awful look. And I don't have any answers. I don't.
Are you preparing yourself for a very long season? How's that sound?
I mean, I'm not willing to throw it out yet. I'm just not. I mean, there's been plenty of teams that have started 1-2 and have gotten it going. I mean, for God's sakes, the Steelers have won 3 games and scored 3 touchdowns. Like, it doesn't take that much. And by the way, points are way down in the NFL. Andy Dalton last week became the first quarterback to throw for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns in a game. So, you know, defenses are keeping things in front of them, making you make the conservative choice, things of that nature. With all that being said, our quarterback's not playing well, and our offensive line is playing poorly, too. And we gave the ball to Deontay Foreman twice last week. I didn't get that.
I didn't get that either, especially after the 14 carries the week before, Chris. And even though the Giants had the lead, it wasn't like it was an insurmountable lead where you had to ditch the running game. You had 12 carries to your running backs. Was that game that in their minds it got away from them? Was that this is what Ken Dorsey wants to do more in his offense, or was it, because I'm still trying to figure it out.
We're all trying to figure it out.
Okay,
and it's tough. It's I don't know what the thought process was when you're going against a team that was susceptible against the run coming in. I mean, we had a 7-point lead after 10 seconds. And so, you know, it didn't get away from us until, you know, the neighbor's touchdown right before the half made it a 2-score game. And then you just feel pressed. I mean, there was a great article in The Athletic about how our receivers aren't separating. They're among the league's worst in terms of separation and speed and things of that nature. So I just think we have to take that all into account and figure out. I mean, it puts a ton of pressure on the defense because, like, I think you feel like if we give up more than 21 points, we're not going to win, and that is a tough way to go. It doesn't mean it can't change. It's just, that's rough.
A thought for you, and I know it didn't work for him real well in New York, and it didn't work real well in Kansas City. Does there come a point here where they give Kadarius Toney a real look who's on the practice squad?
I mean, it's possible. It is possible now that David Bell is out the year. You're going to need another guy to step up. You know, listen, I championed Cedric Tillman from the minute we drafted him. I liked him a lot. I thought he was could have been a really productive receiver. And once again, this is the start of his second year, so I'm not willing to say that this is the next Anthony Schwartz with a different skill set.
Yeah.
But he's got to make plays. He's got to make plays. It just stinks because everything compounds itself, right? Once you feel the pressure, oh, my God, I've got to make every play. And then, you know, guys will tell you they don't play relaxed and free and easy when they're feeling that. That's too bad. Man, oh, man. God, 1-2, it does feel like the sky's falling.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
At all.
Chris, I'm listening to what you're saying, too, and I'm still trying to figure out how you can make a fair assessment of Deshaun Watson when he's en route to having be sacked 90 times this season. How do you make a fair assessment of what we're watching here?
Well, I do it by listening to guys I trust, guys who have played the games. I had a guy send me, he breaks down quarterback video, and this isn't just some guy on the internet who thinks he knows. This is a guy who has seen it happen at a very high level, meaning the NFL, was one of the best to ever do it. And he goes, what's going on with your quarterback? And he would send me these video clips with him narrating. He goes, once again, I'm not in the room, but, and I said, please stop sending me these. It was bad enough when I watched it live the first time. I appreciate what you're trying to do by educating me. Please stop. I would like to put a hold on my quarterback 101 education.
So what's the biggest thing you got out of watching the ones that you did? Are things correctable?
I don't know, because the correction comes with a guy who needs to do a better job of reading what's going on in the field. And I know that Kevin came out yesterday and said, I mean, what else is he supposed to say about his quarterback? Yeah, guys, I don't trust him. He's not seeing the field very well. That's not going to go over great. I mean, the one thing that I admire about Kevin Stefanski is that he hasn't blown up one guy in his now 4+ years as head coach.
Isn't that true?
Publicly.
Yeah.
He never does it. And that is because that's the first way to lose a locker room or a clubhouse in any sport, is to do that. And he doesn't do it. But I imagine behind closed doors, he can't be thrilled with what he is seeing on tape from a lot of different areas, including his quarterback. I mean, Jordan Akins is standing wide open on a fourth down play. Wide open in the NFL. It's a play that not only would have extended a drive. Listen, Greg Joseph did us a favor. I don't know if he was a double agent that day and missed a field goal to keep us in the game. But, I mean, he's got to start making some plays. I don't know what else to say, guys.
The one thing about it is only three games, Chris, and Andy and I talked about that yesterday. I mean, and you're right. It feels like the sky's falling, but it is only three games. The one thing that I find interesting, you have Ken Dorsey, a little different approach to the offense. We're trying to figure out exactly what that is, but I don't know if you can figure out exactly what it is with the line issues that you're having. And it's so convoluted, it's really tough to pinpoint what you need to fix. I would think, first and foremost, if you can get Deshaun to get rid of the ball a little bit more quickly, I mean, you're going to have to do that for him to survive, are you not?
Yep. I mean, it's brutal right now. But that's a league-wide epidemic. You know, I watch every game, right? And I just see what's going on with these offensive lines. And it's like, listen, parents, if you have a kid that's big right now, I don't know what you got to do. Keep having them get bigger and quick feet, because they will get paid an immense amount of money.
Well,
there just aren't enough humans walking the earth to protect quarterbacks at this point. They just aren't. And the defenses are so fast. So fast. Like, you're about to watch Max Crosby this weekend, and you think that he's not pissed off after, you know, giving up 36 points to the Carolina Panthers? The Carolina Panthers? Like, he is going to come out, and whomever is lined up across from him, it's going to be like one of those movies where there's a stud player in high school, and he's just really ticked off because somebody on the offense tried to date his girl, and he's going to, like, be ready to rip somebody's head off. Look out.
All right, Chris, let's switch gears to something a little bit more positive. Let's talk about the Guardians and Rose rotation. So Austin Hedges is on, right? And kind of give us a little sneak peek into what we could hear if we want to listen to the podcast.
So we covered a ton of things, celebrations, why they – did champagne showers twice in less than a week, why he felt like that was important. Amazing stuff on the difference that Stephen Vogt has made on this team. Like, really great inside stuff. And then we talked a lot about Emmanuel Clase. And I believe we have the clip where it started to get around social media today. I want everybody to give a listen to this.
Emmanuel Clase, and we've talked about him before on this show. Is he the best pitcher you have ever caught?
I think he's, through this amount of time, he's the best pitcher ever. I think he's the best pitcher ever.
Hold on. In the history of the sport?
Yes. Through 200-ish innings, he's the best pitcher ever. I would love to compare the numbers. He's better than Mariano. If you need three outs, that guy, that's the best pitcher of all time to get three outs. He's got a long way to go to be the best of all time, right? Because longevity matters. But at 26 years old, with these numbers and that many innings, I mean, we're talking about he needs a few more saves. He's got to beat Helsley. If he does, that's 3 years in a row leading all of MLB in saves, which has never been done before. I mean, this guy added a new pitch essentially this year to shape his cutter even more to the bottom of the zone at 101. So yes, I would hold firmly to that he is the best pitcher of all time through this amount of time.
Wow.
That's pretty strong words there on your podcast. Make sure you're listening. Rose Rotation. Did you have to pick yourself up off the floor after you heard that, or what'd you think?
Well, I imagine you saw my face on the clip, and I was shocked. And that's why I doubled back and said, in the history of the game. And, you know, I know that Austin's obviously going to bat for the dude that he works with, but he really, like, I think he believes so much in what he has to catch for a living. And then there's a second part that I wish we had actually put in the clip, where I said, do you have guys that walk into the batter's box and basically tell you, I've got no shot against this guy? His answer is amazing. So go, even if you just want to fast forward, we always put timestamps in there so you can go to our YouTube channel, you know, on Jam Baseball. Go click the link and go click the timestamp if you just want to listen to the Class A. But I highly suggest you listen to a lot of it because it's so Cleveland-centric. But I got a lot of, you know, morons on social media who either don't want to listen, can't listen, or can't read. It said through 200 innings, he's the best pitcher. And everybody's like, he's 500 saves short of Mariano. How could you say that? Hey, meathead, he said through the first 200 innings of his career, he said longevity matters. I mean, just follow what he's saying here. And you can disagree with him, by all means, but don't do the rest of it. Like, just please pay attention a little bit.
Any chance he gets the Cy Young? Scooble's got it, no. Or you think he's going to get it, or he's got a shot?
Scooble's going to get it. In fact, it wouldn't shock me if he's unanimous. People, unfortunately, are so biased, which I understand towards starting pitching, particularly in today's game when a guy's going seven shutty to get his 18th win of the year and leads in the ERA and strikeouts and everything. It's great. The one thing I said about Clase on our daily podcast, Baseball Today, was you have to understand his importance in on a team that is going to finish with a bye and win its division pretty much going away. Like, everybody knows that the Guardians' best feature is their bullpen. It starts with having the most lockdown guy in the sport. So his importance to our team is second to none as far as any pitcher goes in baseball this year. Second to none. Even Chris Sale is going to run away with the Cy Young in the National League. I mean, you can't build your bullpen when you're like, I don't know, our closer's pretty good. He is dominant, but he'll finish runner-up, I think. He might even finish third behind Corbin Burns. People just, when they don't pay attention to you on a daily basis, you're not going to get the votes.
Chris, I think it's interesting. He was not necessarily his usual lockdown self last year. You heard Austin say a few things about, you know, what he worked on and how he improved. I mean, to have an ERA under one is just stunning. And Austin pointed out something that I think we all need to remember. He's only 26 years old. He'll be 27 for next season, but he's only 26 years old. This is amazing.
Yeah, he talked a lot about his maturity and how that has helped take him to the next level. He also had a fantastic line in there, which I found fascinating, about elite athletes. That you'll want to listen to. Hedges is really good. I know that he gets a lot of crap because he hits 170 or whatever, but he's really important to this team. I don't have to say it again. Like, his energy is very important. Go see where we were last year without him. Go see where we were the year before with him. Go see where we are right now. It's not always about hitting 30 home runs and driving in 85. That's what a team is all about. and finding the right guys that fit in the right places. And, you know, I think he's going to follow in Stephen Vogt's footsteps. I really do. I think he's going to be a manager shortly after he's done playing.
Chris, last question for you, too. The Guardians are going to get a bye here. They're guaranteed no less than the second seed in the American League. Your thoughts on, you know, having the rest, because they're going to get at least a week off here. More than.
Yeah, it, you know, there's a danger, obviously, particularly in the National League the last couple of years. The Braves and Dodgers have found that out the hard way, that when you get rest, sometimes you get a little rusty, and it can happen. But I would say this, that with the frequency that we have thrown our high leverage guys, and I'm talking about the top five guys in that bullpen, I think it's going to do them some good. I really do. And I don't know how our rotation's going to stack out. I think the biggest thing going forward, and maybe we'll have time to talk about this next week, is the return of Stephen Kwan, not just in body, but in mind. Like, he has got to be the Stephen Kwan that we saw the first 3 months of the year in order for this team to get where it wants to get.
Outstanding. Chris, you know we love talking to you every week. Thank you. And, of course, we're checking out the Rose Rotation. Austin Hedges, you heard a little bit of it there. Go listen to the entire podcast. Thanks, Chris.
All right, boys. Take care.
Thanks, Chris.
As always.
Thank you. Chris Rose on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.